Hello to anyone listening and welcome to No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we discuss environmentally conscious decision making because we really have nowhere else to go. On today's episode, I will be discussing the harsh reality that is the Pacific Gyre. If you don't really know what the Pacific Gyre is, it's basically a large patch of plastics and other debris in our Pacific Ocean. It's also known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, so that pretty much sums it up. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration defines a gyre as a large system of swirling currents. So it's basically a bunch of currents that bring all these pieces of garbage together into one big patch of garbage in our ocean. It was first discovered in 1997 by a guy named Charles Moore, and it's pretty funny and interesting how it was discovered because it seems really casual. Charles Moore is an oceanographer who is also a sailboat racer, and one day he was sailing in between Hawaii and California in the Pacific Ocean, of course, and just sailing by on his yacht, he noticed a large patch in the ocean that kind of looked like land, but he knew there wasn't land there, so he immediately questioned it, and now it has been discovered to be the Great Pacific Garbage Patch that we know today. Obviously, the patch was big enough already to be seen and noticed by Charles Moore, who had a lot of knowledge of the ocean already. And so when he saw this, he knew it was big enough to be something serious and that it was not land. So now it's recorded, the patch is recorded at 1.6 million square kilometers. And to put that into perspective, that is twice the size of Texas. And obviously, we all know Texas is a very large state, relatively speaking. So for it to be able to be twice the size of Texas, in my mind, that's just insane. And there are four other known and recorded garbage patches in the Earth's oceans, but this one is the largest. And it's almost next door to us. So it is, of course, located in the Pacific Ocean, halfway between Hawaii and California. Although the National Geographic does define this garbage patch to be two separate garbage patches almost into one. So one is the Western Garbage Patch in between Hawaii and California, and the other is the Eastern Garbage Patch, which is located near Japan. So they basically put them together, and it's now known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, the Pacific Gyre Garbage Patch, all that. So the way that scientists came to know the size and that it is the largest of the five garbage patches in our world's oceans was by getting bird's eye images of the patch and measuring and determining relatively how big it is. They used a team of like 30 boats to spread out 652 surface nets across the patch, which is a lot of nets. And I'm sure those nets were really big. So for it to take 652 of them between 30 boats to do this says a lot right there. And after that, they had to take two flights over the patch to get clear images that they could then go and measure the size and determine all the logistics about this patch that they found. And So we know no matter what, this patch is large, it's disrupting our environment, and it's sadly growing. Although there are high hopes in the future for a reduction, and that will be talked about towards the end of the episode. So now we've basically covered all the hard parts about it, the history, how it came about, how it was discovered, the size, location, almost the boring parts. So now let's talk about what the patch is actually made up of. To me, a big surprising fact that I read is that about 80% of the plastic comes from human land sources, and the other 20% around comes from fishing boats and commercial fishing materials. So many people might not know that. They might not realize it, that the commercial fishing industry, they do tend to leave behind materials, nets, not as if they are trying to do that. I don't think it's intentional. It's just that they use a lot of materials, and sometimes it's easy to forget something. We all know that. So they leave behind their nets and other materials that end up in this patch, and accounts for about 20% of it. And when the fishing seasons are high, it's even more than 20%. So of course the plastic can come from these fishing sources, but the reality is that 80% comes from human use on land of plastic. And as humans, we don't always think about our direct impact as individuals specifically on the environment and how our actions can harm other ecosystems and even ourselves in the future. It's almost like if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And of course, we're not out in the oceans every day seeing this patch. It's not outside of our window when we wake up in the morning. It's not something that's going to be on our mind 24/7. But at the same time, it's something that's very serious. And there are ways to reduce our plastic use. And that will be something that humans continue to work on throughout each of our lives and as a collective. And of course, the numbers of plastic and where they come from can vary, like I said, from the fishing seasons. But the reality is that it's all from humans. We did this, and we can make it better. And we will make it better. The part of the ocean where this patch is a very calm part of the ocean. So the garbage is pushed there through currents, winds, and then it ends up stagnant in this part of the ocean that is actually known to be very calm, cool, and collected. So it stays there because it doesn't have anywhere else to go. There's no winds that are going to push it out or push it back to land. We have to, as humans, invent things and find new ways to go about this collection of materials from the ocean. Or else it would just stay there and it would just pile up and get larger and larger and larger, just like it has been for the past couple of years since it was first discovered in 1997. And the environment also has a lot to do with where the garbage ends up. So if there's more winds, it can shift. The patch has been shown to shift a little bit. They don't know the exact pinpoints of the patch at all times because our winds, the tropical environments, it can all change, and it's an everlasting thing of constantly measuring and determining different factors of the size and location in its reality. Most of this information is coming from the National Geographic and other oceanic sources. And Further in the episode, I will be discussing the direct impact of the Geyer, of the Pacific Garbage Patch Geyer, on the environment and how humans can help solve this problem as individuals and, as I said before, as a team of humans in this world. So in the next section, in the next segment of my show, I will be talking about plastic use, why we use it so much, how it became important in our economy, and just the reality of kind of what the impact is on the environment, including the garbage patch. Of course, that'll be the main topic, but I will discuss other details of the impact on the environment. So I hope you stick around to hear the next segment. Once again, you are listening to No Planet B. This is Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. You can find the show at radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back. This is No Planet B on Penguin Radio, the only radio station of Dominican University of California. You can listen at radio.dominican.edu. And I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally friendly decision making because we have nowhere else to go. In the previous segment, I talked about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and the logistics behind it, how it was discovered, what it really is, the size and location. And in this segment, I'm going to dive deeper into what plastic is and why, as humans, we've decided to use it for so long in our economy. So in the garbage patch in our Pacific Ocean, once again, it's located in between Hawaii and California, and also some of it located near Japan, which is the eastern part of it. It is can be broken into a lot of different types of materials. Of course, the main one being plastic, since it is used so much and it's so popular in our economy and society, it tends to end up in this patch the most, more than cardboard, wood, or metal cans, especially because it really just doesn't break down and it tends to last forever, pretty much. And the plastics in the garbage patch can pretty much be broken down into four different categories. The first one being microplastics, into mesoplastics, then we have the macroplastics, and finally the megaplastics. The megaplastics are anything above 50 centimeters, and they account for 92% of the garbage patch when you are talking about mass. So when it comes to how much space everything takes up in the patch, of course, the megaplastics are going to account for 92% of the whole patch. But when we're talking about object count and what is actually inside of this patch, what is really going on inside of it, there's going to be about 94% of microplastics. So we can explain this patch to be 94% broken down pieces of plastic, everyday plastic, and plastics that are coming from other outside sources, not just everyday use plastic. The types of plastic in that have been found in the garbage patch are hard plastics like sheets or films of plastic. Also, plastic lines from commercial fishing. I talked about that in the previous segment. Like rope nets and different materials that you would use for fishing, especially with the big types of crowds of fish that they need to get in order to provide for the markets. They have to use really big materials that end up in these garbage patches in the oceans and get broken down. The next type of plastic would be pre-production plastics. So cylinders, discs, anything like that. And another one of the last types of plastics would be fragments of foam materials like styrofoam. Doesn't really break down at all. And they all, although they don't break down fully, they over time break into smaller and smaller fragments and pieces that all come together into this huge mass. And the plastic can start to deteriorate through different environmental changes, especially in the ocean. You have marine life who can think that something's edible in the patch. They're chewing on it. They break it down into smaller pieces, of course, end up swallowing some. And there's also the waves, the movement of the ocean in its natural movements can break down the plastics. Also the sun, in a process called photodegradation is where the sun's heat can eventually start to either melt or break down a lot of the plastic parts, but not completely get rid of them. So even though this plastic is getting broken down in some ways and in some sense, of course we know plastic is not fully biodegradable, so it's not really going anywhere. Although it can get smaller and smaller, it's really impossible to fully get rid of this plastic in the right way. It's just not biodegradable. It's not good for our environment. And that's the reality of it. So when plastic was first found to be a thing, when it was first invented, it wasn't that big of a deal. It became first man-made in 1862. And people didn't think much of it. Eventually, though, towards the 50s, the 1950s, the industry began to get more popular when plastic was found to be easily manufactured to benefit the economy in terms of packaging and materials, everything. Plastic, they started making plastic anything that they could do, they would make it. And it was very beneficial to the economy, to the products, and it worked really well. But now I think humans are really realizing that it's not sustainable. It's not something that's good for our environment. A lot of other countries have severely reduced their use of plastic. Unfortunately, the United States of America is a little bit behind in those aspects. But that will be changing, and I do have really high hopes for the future and the reduction of plastic. So we all know plastic, it pretty much can be found anywhere. Nowadays, you go to the grocery store, and even our fruits and vegetables, we put in plastic bags. We buy a drink, it's plastic. We go to get a straw, it's a plastic straw. Pretty much everything is plastic. Our sodas would also be put together in plastic. It's just layers and layers of this strong and durable material. And unfortunately, it's going to take a long time to get out of those habits that different brands, different industries have created. The good news is that a lot of those same brands are working on more biodegradable options, and there are really high hopes for the future. Even just, for example, the law that we have of pretty much banning plastic bags from a lot of stores. They don't use them or they charge for them, which leads to less people wanting them, even if it's just a 10-cent charge. And it's looking good for the future and how us as a society, especially in America, will reduce our plastic use. In the next segment, I'm going to be talking about the actual impact of this plastic being in the ocean and how it directly harms us and the ecosystems in the ocean. So stick around for that and you'll learn a lot more about what's going on with this garbage patch and how it can be changed in the future. So you're listening to No Planet B once again. This is Penguin Radio, only at Dominican University of California. Welcome back. This is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and you are listening to Penguin Radio, the only radio station of Dominican University of California, here on 102.3. And this is where we talk about environmentally friendly and conscious decision making, because we have nowhere else to go. In the last segment, I touched a lot on the specifics of plastic, why humans have really used it for pretty much anything and everything that we can. We've used it for packaging, we've used it for more packaging, and everyday materials that could be easily made from other sources, including wood, metal, aluminum. Even though those are still products that aren't necessarily the best for their environment, plastic is probably one of the worst products for our environment, and we managed to make it one of the most popular products in our economy. So in this section, I will be talking specifically about the plastics in the ocean in this garbage patch that is in the Pacific Ocean specifically, and how it directly impacts us as humans, and also how it impacts marine life in the seas, and how it can quite literally kill species of animals that should have stayed alive and really just aren't because of our consumption of plastic and our use of it in our economy. So the way that these plastics would really directly impact us as humans is where it's a process. It takes time, and it's not as quick as how fast it can kill marine life. But it's more about the terms of it breaking down and the marine life that we'll eat eventually, how they're swallowing the plastics, which can then cause us to have these plastics in our body and our systems without even knowing it, because they're so small, or they're just almost in the bloodstream of these fishes, causing to go into the meat of the fish. And then it just comes into our bodies, of course, again, without us realizing. So in the previous segment, I talked about how a lot of this plastic, about 20% of it, is from commercial fishing. And when we talk about commercial fishing, it is what it sounds like. It is boats going out on the waters, capturing large, huge crowds of fish and crab, everything, in order to be taken back to shore, delivered to restaurants, and used in our meals. Even on the markets, the piers, anywhere you could buy fish, they're coming from commercial fishing boats. And these boats, ironically, are leaving behind a lot of their materials, either on accident or due to time, whatever the case may be. These fishing nets, the materials, they're being left and they're being broken down into smaller and smaller pieces over time that eventually get into the hands, or literally the mouths, of our marine life, our fish, our crab, our octopus, whatever you eat, there's going to be a trace of plastic in some way or the other if it's coming from a place near the garbage patch or any of the garbage patches, because there are 5 in our world's oceans that have been accounted for. So that is really one way it affects humans the most. And although some people may say, oh, like, it's such a small amount, it doesn't matter. Well, if you eat fish a lot, or if your children do, if your loved ones do, those toxins, like, they add up throughout time of our lives. They will eventually show the signs of toxins in our body, whether that's physically seen or not. It definitely impacts our health if someone is eating seafood. Another way that it can really impact humans is our air quality. This also can be said to, you know, maybe be a smaller deal than it really seems, but it just adds to our air pollution problem that already exists in our world and in our reality. These toxins come from the plastic being broken down by the sun, and then the waves moving around these toxins throughout the air. They're going into our water system, and directly what we're breathing in. It's our oceans give us about 70% of the air we breathe. And so if we're breathing in all of these plastic toxins, I mean, something is going to happen. Even if it takes 80 years, oh well, it's still important. And to me, the most important thing is how marine life is being impacted by these plastics in the water. Like I said previously, marine life, they can't always tell what's food and what's not food. So it's been shown that sea lions have gone to chew on parts of these plastics. That's a reason why some of the plastics are broken up, but it's another reason why a lot of the marine life we see now isn't healthy. They're not thriving in the same ways. And I it's because of how much plastic is in our oceans. That's not the only reason, but it is a direct impact of human use of plastic to some extent in their ability to thrive. And other species, along with sea lions, they can get entangled in this plastic debris, and that can also end up in death for these animals, which is just a really sad fact. It's something really awful to think about, and I know personally, if I could prevent that in any type of way, I would spend my life doing that. And I do. I work strongly trying to reduce my plastic use, cut up any plastics that I'm using so that there's no loops without any way to get out of it. So it also can do more to the wildlife in terms of their happiness. When there's plastic in the ocean, it's obvious to wildlife that it's not the same oceans that it was maybe 50 years ago. This plastic has accumulated so much that they've lost a lot of area to swim in, to be happy in. It's not natural to the environment, and there's just no reason it should be there. So it can directly impact their well-being and social benefits. Even though they're animals, it's just as important. If we were to have huge volcanoes just suddenly appear in our everyday life, that would directly impact us, and we would avoid those areas at all costs, which is exactly what they do when they find out the harmful truth to this garbage patch and the others. So in the next segment, I will be talking more about the positive aspects of what we as a community, as a society, as humans are doing to better our ecological footprints and to change up the game when it comes to plastic use and to incorporate more biodegradable products into our society and our economy. So you are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the only radio station of Dominican University of California. This is your host, DJ Green, and we are going to continue talking about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else. Hello and welcome back. This is No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio. You can also find it at radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally friendly and conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. In the previous segments, I introduced the Pacific Gyre Garbage Patch and the reality of plastic in our oceans. I talked about the history of plastic and how it directly impacts our environment, us as humans, the ecosystems in the ocean, and other very important points. So now I'm going to be talking about the good parts about human nature. Humans, when we see a problem, when we feel bad about something or our egos get crushed, the cool part about humans is we want to fix that. We are constantly thinking of new ideas. We're innovative. Our brains, they make us analyze situations. And we really get stuff done when we need to as humans. So that's what it's come down to. We've realized that there's a problem in our oceans and in general with our use of plastic and how it's not biodegradable, it's not sustainable, and it's not good for our future, for the bettering of this environment. It's simply not really an option anymore for things to get better if we continue using plastic the way that we do. So the good part is that a lot of brands, a lot of big name brands are becoming more sustainable every day in their decision making, their actions, their products. A lot of companies are deciding to either completely take out plastic from their product use or use recycled plastic. Although that's not necessarily the best option, it is a huge step in the right direction. And a lot of this cleanup is going to take baby steps. It's going to take time to fully get to where we need to be as a sustainable economy and environment. A lot of other countries, as I said in my previous segment, have decided to ban single-use plastics entirely or make laws around their recycling and how their citizens accumulate their garbage. For example, in Japan, you have to sort your trash, and if it's not done correctly, you can get fined. So it's almost a habit now to the citizens of Japan. They can do it almost in their sleep, and hopefully we will get there someday. And more people are taking individual action to better their ecological footprint and understand recycling more and where it actually goes, what can actually be recycled. And it's looking good. So not only are brands working on basically eliminating the use of plastic in their products, there is actually a cleanup project being done and a real team of people who invented a way to clean out this plastic from the oceans. And during their trials, they saw significant results. They saw a lot of hope, a lot of potential for this product that basically works as a conveyor belt to remove these plastics from the ocean and eventually get them to the recyclables or landfill where it's, as humans, we've decided it's supposed to go. So the system is called System 001/B. And like I said, it's essentially a conveyor belt that filters out the plastic and floats in the ocean to get it to where the plastic is meant to be, because it's not naturally supposed to be in our oceans, obviously. They are still working on kinks and almost faults in their system for it to be fully operational the way that they planned it to be. And the testing that it went through, it was about a year of testing, and it was shown to have success, and it was able to be self-contained in the environment of the ocean, which is really impressive because, as we all know, the ocean is pretty crazy. The winds, the currents. It can get pretty scary out there. And although the section of the Pacific garbage patch isn't necessarily one that's extremely shaky or crazy, it still is the ocean, so it's very unpredictable. But what's cool about this system is that it uses the forces of the ocean to catch the plastic and then filter it out and so on and so forth. The project was originally introduced at a TEDx conference in October of 2012. So the actual system didn't get built, put into operation until about 2018, 2019, because it was such a huge process. It took a lot of innovative minds. It took a lot of thinking outside the box, something that's never been done before because it never had to have been done before. So as humans, we discovered a way to make it work. And I think that's something that's really special. The presenter of the TEDx conference is someone who I look up to very much. I aspire to be like that, to find innovative ways to help the environment and to better our future as humans. And his name is Boyan Slat. And of course, there is a team behind him who worked on this ocean cleanup project. Their website is theoceancleanup.com. They have a lot of interesting and useful information. They have updates, their products, how garbage gets to the ocean, and just a lot of stuff that you can look up and learn about if you are interested in expanding your mind on this topic. Also, in the future, there are more and more companies looking into biodegradable options to bring it back to the companies and the economy one last time. For example, Guinness has decided to completely take out all plastic of their packaging and replace it with biodegradable materials only. Some examples of biodegradable materials are cork, bamboo, desert sand, linoleum, bioplastics, which are made from soybeans, and there's other options I use, like potato starch, timber, lots of things. So we have the ability to create products. We just have to do it smart in order for them to last long the way that plastic has. So those are all the great things that society is doing to better ourselves, better our environment, and hopefully stop these plastics from ending up in the ocean. Hopefully soon we will just get rid of plastics in general. So that was it for the Pacific Coast garbage patch and what it really is and how we can help solve the problem as humans in our everyday lives. So I hope you go forward thinking about this information lightly and wholeheartedly, putting the environment first, making small changes, using more reusable cups, taking less plastic straws, maybe going to places that use biodegradable packaging, whatever you really want. So for now, this was No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Here we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and stay safe.